As we prepare for 4th of July, I have, in recent weeks, found myself turning once again to a collection of essays that have inspired not only myself, but also Dr. King and Gandhi. I find the idea that I can hold in my hands and read words that lift up my soul and expand my mind, the same words that had that effect on my heroes, who passed away years before I was even thought of, that I can hold and read those words and connect with those who have read them before me, I find that a magical gift. I am referring to a collection by the great American philosopher Henry David Thoreau titled Civil Disobedience and Other Essays. I've been drawn back to this book by the actions of a vast growing number of nice, middle-class, college-educated retirees from Wilmington who have been traveling the 2 hours to Raleigh with the intention of getting arrested. It seems a fitting topic to ponder with Independence Day approaching. I spent my younger and more contentious days surrounded by people who asked themselves and each other the same sort of questions that Thoreau asks in the book. Unjust laws exist. Shall we be content to obey them? Or shall we endeavor to amend them and obey them until we have succeeded, or shall we transgress them at once? Now, we do this every day. Elephants may not be used to plow fields, and it is against the law to sing off-key in North Carolina. These are two state laws that are almost laughable to enforce and are, perhaps, unjust. As a person incapable of singing on-key, I happen to find the second law rather discriminatory, and I choose to break it daily. Dissent is a powerful idea in the human psyche. In the American psyche, it is one of the main pillars. Indeed, not only was our nation founded by dissenting from the rule of England, which we will celebrate next week, but we have enshrined the right to dissent in our Constitution, and we encourage it in our legislative bodies. Thoreau spent much of his adult life lecturing and writing on his refusal to cooperate with a government that protected slavery. At the time, many of his contemporaries and his family argued with him that his small refusal amounted to nothing. Indeed, he was released from jail after a family member paid the taxes he refused to pay to support either the institution of slavery or war that he did not believe in. 150 years later, we live in a society that abhors the idea of slavery, but still fights and funds war with taxpayer money. Did Thoreau's refusal make a difference, after all? Well, we're still discussing his refusal, instead of accepting the status quo. That discussion and the seeds of dissent that discussion sows are necessary to create a more just nation and state. Discussion can, in fact, be handled with grace and respect between not only the populace when they meet in a coffee shop or a bar, but also between elected officials and their constituents who deserve not only to be listened to and consulted, but not to be publicly ridiculed by the very people they have elected to represent them. Thoreau wrote, "I please myself with imagining a state at last which can afford to be just to all men, to treat the individual with respect as a neighbor." I will say publicly that I agree with the basis of Thoreau's work, which is that at the end of the day, you must answer to yourself and to God. We elect officials to represent us. What they do in our name, and we answer for their actions as much as for our own. From Slavery in Massachusetts, the second essay in the book, "I had thought that the governor was in some sense the executive officer of the state, that it was his business, as a governor, to see that the laws of the state were being executed, while as a man, he took care that he did not, by so doing, break the laws of humanity."